Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of The Daily Gold. Now Jordan, as we alluded to last week when we chatted with you, we're going to focus a little bit more on silver. And curiously enough, today silver is a standout, not for good reasons in my eyes, in the precious metals, because as we have gold up a little bit today, about $6, platinum, palladium, rhodium, those are also up. Silver's down about 50 cents. It's below that 2250 level. And more importantly, it's closing in on that lower part of this trading range that it has been in for well over a year now. This trading range about that 21 to 22 level, the whole way up to about $30. Now, the thing is, silver has been quite weak for the second half of this year. In June, silver was up around $28, almost $29, and now, again, down at about $22.50. Jordan, what is this chart telling you? Do we need to be concerned that silver is or could be breaking below this longish trend that it's been in?
Yes, we should be. It's very concerning. And, you know, I don't know if it was last time or the week before about technical analysis on multiple time frames, and you really should start with the monthly chart first and then work your way down. And so as of yesterday was the end of the month, so we could look at monthly charts, and the monthly chart of silver, the monthly candle chart, is not constructive if you're a bull. And we were talking about this, how I wasn't quite convinced that the inverse head and shoulders bottom was going to play out. So we saw silver break out, but then it stopped at the 200 day moving average, and it's rolled over since then. And the moving average, it was sloping down. So this is another thing. The direction of moving averages is really important. So silver rallied up to and failed at a moving average that is sloping to the downside. And if you look at, you know, I was going to say the weekly, but especially the monthly chart, like that looks like silver could go to 18 or 19. I'm not predicting that's going to happen. It's just, if you look at the chart and you look at, you know, big picture technicals, that's definitely a possibility at this point. And, you know, what concerns me about silver, and this is something that, you know, I can't recall if we've talked about this in the last week or two, but I've been writing about it a little bit more in my updates. And I think towards the end of November, you know, I mentioned if you're looking at the sentiment in bonds, you know, the Merrill Lynch Fund Manager Survey, which is a survey of global fund managers and lots of money, and it comes out every month. The positioning in bonds was the lowest, I think, in the history of the survey, which goes back some 20 years. So sentiment in bonds had gotten really, really bearish to the point where it's pretty obvious that you're going to get a snapback at some point. And if you go back to the last time the Fed did a tapering, the end of 2013 or early 2014, well, bonds were performing poorly into that point. And then when the tapering started, they had a really good rally in 2014. So I'm not saying that's going to completely repeat itself this time, but when you consider that and you consider the positioning and you also consider the stock market, there's rising risk there. I think we alluded to that last week. So you definitely have the setup for the inflation trade to basically reverse itself this year. And in addition to that, you know, what also supports that, we were talking about this before we got on here, is there's been all this news about inflation in recent months, recent quarters, but, you know, we know that gold peaked first and silver, I think, peaked around the same time. It did rally back to its high, but gold and silver basically peaked, you know, well over a year ago. And there's been a lot of talk about high inflation this year, but if you look at the metals, they had already peaked. You know, they have not gone on to make new highs or higher highs, and the dollar's been rallying at the same time. So it's been, I mean, commodities have held up well considering that in the dollar, but, you know, now we're seeing, you know, more weakness. The dollar is still rallying, you know, bonds, there's going to be a sentiment unwind. So when we put that together, that's not good for commodities and especially silver. You know, it's the type of environment where capital is going to come out of places and move into bonds, at least temporarily. Doesn't mean the commodity bull market is over, but we could get a big counter trend move with that this year.
Yeah, Jordan. And since silver has that dual nature of being one part precious metals and one part an industrial metal, more tethered to the commodities, sometimes it's going to trade more in alignment with the commodities, where if most of the metals are pulling back, sometimes silver gets hit along with that. back in September at the end of Q3, silver got down below 22 to that 2148 level, 2146. And a lot of people were worried it could actually open a trap door down to 1850 to 19. When you look at the technical setup in silver paired against this weakening commodity picture and strengthening dollar picture, is that a level, or what level are you looking at as a downside support if that 2150 level breaks in silver?
You know, I have not taken a close look at the very long-term technicals, but I think I recall 1870, I think, is a pretty important level. So when we're looking at these levels, people should look at, you know, look at a 50-year chart or 40-year chart or whatever. You can look at daily closing prices, weekly closing prices, then you can look at a monthly candle chart. You can look at, you know, monthly closes as well as the monthly candle chart. So I think 1870, I recall that being a target I was thinking about months ago. And then with that, I think there's something around 2000 or 19, something in the mid to upper 19s. So those are definitely the levels that I'd be thinking about. And, you know, I'm not saying that's going to happen in like a month or two, but the price action is just not encouraging at this point, especially considering, you know, we had this rally. And so silver failed at a declining 200-day moving average, and now it's rolled over. And then you factor in the macro market picture that I'm talking about here, where we're probably going to move from an inflationary macro market view to a disinflationary one, which is, you know, that's one of the worst, or silver in that environment, silver is like one of the worst investments you could own. So unless I'm completely wrong about that, it's definitely worrisome for silver and that it could take it on the chin, at least in the first couple months or the first half of 2022.
Are you seeing any light in the stocks here, Jordan? Because there's no denying that the juniors especially have been very beat up. There are a handful of stocks that are still doing decently, but any light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to the underlying silver stocks?
Not really. I mean, I know that people look at the ETF and they'll say, oh, well, today, it, you know, the silver went down 4%. The stocks only went down, you know, 1%, or today they're forming a bullish hammer. I mean, I just don't buy any of that. When I look at SILJ, the structure of it looks very similar to silver. I mean, just big picture, looks pretty similar. It had a rally. It failed at the long-term moving averages. Now it's rolling over. If we look at pulling up SIL, you know, it's a little bit stronger than SILJ, but it looks similar. So yeah, you know, I know that people look at something that happens for a day or two and they point out something positive, but that's only for a day or two. You really have to focus on the big picture. And so the big picture is not good for silver. And like, I'm sorry, if silver's going to 18 or 19, I mean, SIL or SILJ, they're going to go down. They're going to go lower in that environment. They're not going to bifurcate if silver goes from 22 to 18 or 19. I mean, junior silver stocks are really going to get hit in that environment. You know, maybe they don't get hit as much as you'd expect, but they're going to get hit and trade lower. Like, this is not the time to be in silver stocks. And I've only owned a couple for a really long time. I'm not taking a victory lap or anything, you know, because it is surprising to me to see the outlook turn really negative again, at least for the next couple months. But, you know, you got to be careful with silver and silver stocks, because when they're not moving up, there's a lot of risk there. And yeah, I mean, that's my views on that. I'd be careful. I've been getting too many emails from people every week about asking about silver stocks. Why don't you own silver stocks? You know, what silver stocks do I need to own? And, you know, people are thinking it was going to go to 100 in a year or two. And it just seems like silver investors, I mean, they haven't, the bulls have not been flushed out based on that anecdotal evidence, which can be tricky. But, you know, thinking about that, thinking about the macro market picture, thinking about the charts, it's not good. I mean, you don't want to get into silver too early. I mean, at some point it's going to make a huge move higher and get back to 50, but it doesn't look like the start of that move is going to be happening anytime soon.
Well, Jordan, I know that you agree with this, but when you hear anybody saying that silver is going to $200 or $300 an ounce, you need to stay away from them, because we've heard it for a decade. And quite frankly, look, it's nice to hear, especially when you're a silver investor, but that is kind of a tough investable trend right now. I guess unless you have the longest time frame possible, then maybe that will be right. Looping back around to your inflation comments and regarding what commodities have done, really put in a lot of tops recently. We don't know how long these tops will be, and we don't know if we're going through a big correction or if it's just a sideways consolidation. But again, markets are forward-looking. how devastating or what would the impact be to other commodities, to the markets, if the commodities are telling us that inflation maybe has peaked for the next year or so?
Well, we know that gold tends to be the leading indicator for commodities in general, and gold peaked August 2020. So now we're in December, which is 16 months. So now we're entering the 17th month of this correction in gold. I would bet commodities are probably generally, their correction is probably going to look similar to gold. And, you know, I'd have to look at the continuous CRB, which is the CCI. It's hard to get that on most charting platforms. That was the CRB in 2005 before they just completely destroyed the weightings. And the new CRB is ridiculous. It has nothing to do with, you know, no reflection of current commodity prices in my view. But looking at the old one, the continuous one where the weightings are more balanced, you know, that I believe it rallied up to 2011 resistance. If you look at a monthly chart of that or a monthly chart of copper or some of these other commodity groups, you know, they rallied up to their 28 or 2011 highs. And we're talking about some major long-term charts where they could consolidate, pull back, correct, just, you know, digest the recent gains. I mean, they could do nothing for a year or 18 months and just trade back and forth here as the, you know, macro market shifts away from inflation, you know, temporarily in a long-term sense. So that's, you know, my expectation for commodities. And you know, one thing we have to remember is if you look at inflation in the 1940s and 1960s and 1970s, it's very volatile. It's very erratic. You know, you can have, you know, a year or two where inflation really pops, you know, it's at 6 or 7%. And then the next year it comes all the way back to 2 or 3%. And it sits there for another year. And then it spikes to 5% and spikes to 8%. The inflation is very volatile. It's not like, you know, when inflation is in a bull market and commodities are in a bull market, it's not like the stock market where it's relatively pleasant. It just bumps higher from year to year and has, you know, the action is relatively smooth. So the fact that commodities are likely to correct, consolidate, be dead money for a year, whatever you want to call it, that doesn't change the bird's eye view that the, you know, larger trend, the secular trend has turned higher. And, you know, eventually when this correction and consolidation ends, you know, we should see some great moves to the upside. But, you know, for a lot of these commodities, I just don't think it's going to be this coming year. Like they're going to need to correct and consolidate. And I would just shift it back to gold. Gold's the leader. It's been correcting for 16 or 17 months. So what's happened in gold, we're probably going to see something in commodities as a whole. And, you know, soon enough, gold's going to be the first one to break out. So when gold bottoms and starts moving up and breaks 1900 and has a chance to, you know, make that massive breakout, you know, that'll probably be the time when commodities as a whole bottom. So yeah, gold's the leader. Focus on that.
Okay. Well, we'll be talking about all of this on a weekly basis as we move into next year, but very good comments, Jordan. And I always do appreciate looking at those longer term charts, right? Because a lot of the investors are buy and hold investors and they need that uptrend to be making money. Jordan, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week. Have a great rest of your week.